Someone once fancied that the devil was going out of business and selling his equipment. He had some very high-priced tools, such as anger, hatred, adultery, murder, and lying. But there was one wedge-shaped tool that cost more than all the rest of them put together. It was well-worn from constant use. Asked why it was offered at such an outrageously high cost, Satan answered, "That's discouragement. Why, it's the most useful implement that I have in my arsenal. I've accomplished more with discouragement than with all the other tools combined." That story's fiction, of course, but its truth is not. I've never met a person who has not been discouraged at one time or another. Even the greatest spiritual giants of all history have had their low moments. Was there ever a more exciting prophet of God than Elijah? He had withstood the evils of Ahab and Jezebel. He had faced the 400 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, calling down fire from heaven. His words had such power with God that they could dry up the rain and turn the fertile soil to dry powder. Elijah was a giant of faith. But he knew what discouragement could do to a person. In one of his lowest moments, he huddled beneath a juniper tree in the wilderness near Beersheba, and he wanted to die. His prayer was pathetic. "It's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers." The New Testament opens with the story of John the Baptist. He was a legend in his own time. One writer described him with these moving words: "All the appetites of John's body and all the affections of John's mind and heart were drunk up and drained dry by the all-consuming fires of his unquenchable conscience. If all sight and sense and conscience of sin had utterly died out of Israel in that day, it had only died out of all other men's hearts to rage like the bottomless pit itself in the great broken heart of John. And thus it was that the very robbers ran and hid themselves among the rocks of the hill country when they saw that terrible man standing again over against the city and crying out, 'O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how shalt thou abide the day of his coming? For behold, that day shall burn as an oven, when all that do wickedly shall be as the stubble.' A man alone, a man apart, a great man. Jesus said, 'A greater man has never been born of woman.' The Baptist had not flinched at telling King Herod he needed to repent. The monarch had expected flowery words of condescension, but he didn't know John. The old prophet had pointed at Herod's wife and cried, 'It is not lawful for thee to have her.' The man had no fear. The world's system and its material magnets could not allure him. Power with men was of no conscience to him, but discouragement caught him dead center. Herod had John thrown in a dungeon. Months went by. This great man who had strode through the wilderness, who had waded the Jordan to preach to the nation, who had stared into the eyes of the king and accused him of adultery, this great man now lay shackled at the bottom of the pit. Once a day, food was brought to him. He never saw the rays of the sun. He never felt the wind blowing through his hair and beard. He no longer could hear the cry of the jackals at night or the mountain lions at sunup. And he had not caught a glimpse of his beloved Messiah, Jesus, in a long time. It was finally too much for him. Discouragement filled his pit, nearly choking him. In desperation, he sent a message to Jesus. It was shocking. Could the great prophet have sunk so low in his spirits? Listen to his words to our Lord. 'Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?'" This was the same John who stood waist deep in the Jordan and bellowed across the canyons, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Discouragement is a ruthless crippler. It hits everybody. Sometime in each person's life, he feels the bite from this wedge of steel. Discouragement has brought promising careers to a premature halt. It has ended marriages. It has shattered magnificent dreams. It's caused millions of people to want out of life. Perhaps you're facing another day in which discouragement will sit on your shoulder, mocking your life and achievements. I've come in the power of the Holy Spirit to tell you that there is a cure for discouragement. You do not have to fall victim to this ruthless enemy anymore. There are ironclad promises in the Word of God that assure you victory over discouragement. Those promises are for you and your family, provided you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and are serving Him faithfully each day of your life. Romans 8:28 is one of the greatest promises of all. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things work together for good. That verse did not promise that all things are good automatically, but that a child of God will find the power through Christ to see them work out beneficially. Discouragement denies that promise. When Satan gets you to indulge in self-pity and despondency, you are in effect agreeing with him, saying, "Probably all things will not work out." But the Bible says they will, so it becomes a matter of who you believe, God or Satan. Or you may protest, "But my problem is unique." Maybe so. But it's covered by the promise, all things, not some things, not a few things, but all things work together for good. That includes you. And that covers your specific need today. Satan uses discouragement to cloud the issue. Don't let him do it to you. Now, if you're a born-again believer, exercise your authority as a child of God and demand that Satan leave you. If you're not a believer, don't try it. You don't have any authority over Satan, and you'll leave yourself wide open to counterattack. This is the time when you should be seriously considering giving your life to Jesus Christ, because that's your hope. It's your only hope. King David prayed a remarkable prayer at the lowest point in his life. He was discouraged almost beyond recovery, it seemed. But his plea to God in Psalm 51 contained this great phrase, "Renew a right spirit within me." Think of the residue you've allowed to gather in your mind for so long. Various fears, self-pity, doubt, an unforgiving spirit, and anger. Do you wonder why you're discouraged? In a few moments, when you and I pray together, ask God to cleanse your mind thoroughly. You can be free of that constant discouragement when you have a day-by-day renewing of your mind and spirit. You'll need to spend time with God to accomplish that task, but it will be worth every moment you spend with Him. Next, discouragement is relieved by your day-by-day walk with God. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, discouragement is a form of condemnation. It's a put-down. But the Bible says there will not be that condemning discouragement if we walk in the Spirit each day. That phrase, walk in the Spirit, may be a puzzler to you. You're wondering what it means. In its simplest form, it means, who is controlling your life, you or God? If you are in control, it means you have to deal with each problem that comes along. But if God is in control, let Him deal with it. Now, who would you rather have solve your problem of discouragement, you or God? Proverbs 3:6 makes it very clear, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Then why don't you make God the ruler of your life and let Him control it? God will not tolerate any dictates of Satan at any time. Discouragement comes from Satan. If God is on the throne of your life, He will not allow discouragement to run rampant through your mind and heart. He'll stamp it out, and He'll teach you to live so that you're not an easy prey to Satan's devices. The songwriter knew what he was talking about when he wrote, "It pays to serve Jesus. Oh, it pays every day." Of course, there will someday be a home in heaven. But right now, we're children of God, and we can so live on this earth right now that men and women are amazed at our lives. But only if God is in control. Are you discouraged? Have you been walking in the Spirit? Has God's Word been taken into your mind? Have you spent any time lately talking to your Creator? Or even more important, listening to Him? Have you spent time in God's service fulfilling His will among your fellow man? And finally, discouragement cannot thrive in a thankful heart. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Discouragement raises its ugly head when we contemplate those heights we've not reached. But thankfulness comes when we remember those goals already attained. There's just simply no way that discouragement can rule in a thankful heart. The book of 2 Timothy was Paul's last will and testament. He wrote it from his death cell, waiting to be beheaded by Nero's executioner. And yet, it's one of the most gloriously positive books ever given to mankind. It's full of thanksgiving. Imagine it. A man waiting for the axe to fall is thankful. You won't find a discouraging word in that entire book. My friend, I've only mentioned four ways to be set free from discouragement. There are hundreds more in the Word of God. But before those promises can ever be effective to you, first you need to get your priorities straight. The first one is this: what will you do with Jesus Christ? Have you made Him the King of your life? The choir is gathering around me just now, and Brother McClellan is going to lead them in a great old song. And while they sing, why don't you and I kneel together at this radio altar and begin the road to recovery from your discouragement?
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord.
Heavenly Father, You have provided so many ways to escape Satan's traps such as discouragement. I know that thousands of people have heard this message You laid on my heart. People who've been down and down and down. Discouragement has nearly shattered them. Father, the thing about it is this: Satan makes us believe that we are the only ones who ever get discouraged, that our problem is unique, and yet discouragement comes to us all. I often wish, Lord, that I could pray a sinner's prayer for every man and woman who hears Revival Time. But of course, I can't do that. Each person has to do that alone. I can only ask the Holy Spirit to bring each listener to You. And now we're at the altar together, the most important part of our ministry. This is the time we go for a verdict, asking each one to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, I know that if they will, it will be so much easier to cope with discouragement and depression. Because now they're not fighting against Satan alone, but in the power of Jesus Christ, before whom every power of darkness must flee. May they pray that commitment to You right now. Would you pray with me? And if you don't know how, just repeat this prayer very sincerely with me. Dear Jesus, please come into my life. There are dark shadows there. I know what fear is. I'm at the bottom, Lord, and I don't want to stay there. Please forgive my sins. Remove from my life everything that offends You, and in place of discouragement, let there be radiance and light. And I thank You, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad You prayed with me. I have a series of excellent Bible studies that we've prepared for you. Each of these studies deals with important aspects of life, giving you a Bible perspective on each one. You can fill out the workbooks, and when you've completed them, if you like, you may send them back to me. I'll go over them and return them along with my personal letter of encouragement. Just write me today asking for the Bible studies. Now you find a good church home and a pastor who can really help you. And remember, you can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you.